Well, we would appreciate your prayers this morning. We have been studying for several weeks about different aspects of the service of the Lord. I really believe if we can see the value and the beauty of the service of the Lord, I think we'd be a lot more apt to put ourselves into it. I think about life and homes, and of course this is just kind of a big home here, but you know, if the home is bright and sunny and there's things going on and people are full of life and all of those things and things happening, it's just fun to be there, isn't it? If I can use that word, it's just enjoyable to be there. But if everybody's couch potatoes and nothing's happening, the house is all dirty and everything's mess and nothing's happening and depression kind of looming in the air, then it's a pretty unhappy place to be. It's a pretty despondent place. And you know what? The church is a little bit like that too. And so I would like to ask the Lord, I've just been praying for our congregation that the Lord will bless us as a whole, and that the Lord would bless our assembly together and bless us in a personal way, that we could all feel that vitality and that sunniness and that joy that the Lord wants to put into our lives. The first study we had on this, when we started studying about the service of the Lord, was the basis. And I just want to recap this a little bit. Perhaps, I don't know if this will be the last one. Maybe it will. But the first study we had was on the basis of all we do as the Lord's people. What we allow into our lives, our purpose, our manner of life, and things that we love, and how it is so contrasted with the basis that the world operates from. All the things of this world are only there as a help to the Christian. And that's what we're supposed to be. We're passing through. All these things are a help to us getting there and to others and to the Lord. Our loves are elsewhere. All the things of the world are used to facilitate the Christian's main aim, and that is in contrast with the world's view of serving and feeding ourself and our own flesh. That was the first study. And we want to recognize what a great contrast the very basis of everything we do is so contrasted with the world's basis. And the second study was growing up into Him, allowing the growth process to mature us, and being willing to be placed in a place of responsibility. You know, we take care of our own personal responsibilities, and we take care of our personal spiritual life until hopefully the Lord, the Scripture talks about growing up into Him, into all things, and how that the Lord wants us to be a mature person. He wants us to be a mature body, that we might become very productive in the things of God. That's not for someone else. That's for every single one of us. That's what God desires. And it is a blessed place to be in. It is not always easy on the flesh to take responsibility, because it's easier to sit by. But you know, that's where the blessing is. The blessing isn't in being a couch potato. It's in being an active, vibrant part of what God wants to do. And His sunshine falls on that, and that's a blessing to be in that place. I fully believe that this morning. You know, we talked about in that second study that children are totally dependent on others, and teenagers are a work in progress. They're learning, they're preparing for life, they're learning to carry a load. But adults carry a load. That's what they do as an adult. And so we talked about all those things and letting the Lord place us in a place of responsibility, feeling the weight of what the Lord is trying to do, and letting the Lord place that upon us, being willing to take responsibility and grow up into the Lord so that we can become able to do those things, because the Lord has a lot of things He wants to do in our lives and in the congregation and in the outreach of the congregation. But it takes us being willing to let the Lord put that weight upon us. We come to church, we come to service, we pray before we ever leave, pleading with the Lord, "Lord, we know that unless You work and unless You speak, it's going to be real limited. We can read Your word, and that'll be good anytime. But I'll tell you, if we want it to be alive and vibrant in our souls, then let's ask the Lord to help us to move up a little closer to Him. And let Him put that weight upon us. And those that move out, and I see them singing, I see them praying, I see them doing the work of the Lord in so many other ways, even the work of the grounds, all those things. You know, when we allow the Lord to start using our life, there's a blessing that the Lord puts on that. And so the third study we mentioned about, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. And the Lord doesn't have vessels that are dishonorable vessels. All of His vessels are honorable. And so He wants to, the scriptures tell us, if a man purge himself from these and from the things, false doctrine, wicked men, all those kind of things, then he will be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use and prepared unto every good work. And that's where the Lord wants to take us today. And so, and then we talked quite a bit last week about the things that would hinder us from being able to be in that place where the Lord can use us in some places. Because if we keep a clear name, we keep our life clear, we keep ourselves in the love of God, we keep a heart full of love and forgiveness, and keep the Lord as first and utmost and above all else, and everything else being sub to that, then we become a vessel that's meet for His use. We're usable, easily used. If you look that word up, it says easily used. We become that in the Lord's hands. And so we know that means that sufficient, a vessel that the Lord can. Keeping a good, clear name, the honor and respect of the people, whereby we can be effectual in working with them. Because our work is with people. That's the work of the church as a whole. And it involves temporal things, but our work is with people. And so we have to realize it's not just what I think. It's what people perceive of us as well. And we want to do the best we can with that. And this morning I want to think about vision and availability. And you know, this morning we may not be here a long time this morning, but I want to give us this little burden. The Lord has a vision of things. That means in His mind He sees some things that we don't see. He wants to do some things that we can't imagine. That's what God wants to do. I believe that this morning. Far more than what we could comprehend. And so the scriptures tell us that, how does it go exactly? Without a vision, the people perish. Something like that. So we want to have a vision and get a hold of God's thoughts. And that takes not, we can't just figure that out. We can't just read the Bible and get that. But reading the Bible with a real heart to know the Lord and letting God work in our life, He'll begin to reveal some things to us, a bigger plan. And it's a lot larger than us. And He wants us to reach beyond this little 1 foot by 1 foot that we're in here. He has a whole work that He wants to do this morning. So I want to look in John, the 21st chapter, and the third verse, and look at a little exchange here between the Lord and Peter. John 21 and 3. It says here, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. Now, what was the context of this? You know, the Lord had been crucified. Peter for 3 years had walked with the Lord. And here he was with him all the time and beholding all these things the Lord was doing. But then God did something really amazing. He just totally allowed Peter's world to be confused. Peter completely, his hope that the Lord was going to be the Messiah, the Redeemer, he disappeared. He was killed. He was crucified, and Peter made grievous errors in that. And we look at all of that, and you know, the Lord had appeared to them a couple of times since that. But Peter was kind of disillusioned. I think he didn't know where he was headed or what was going on. And so he just did what people do. He went back to fishing. That's where he was comfortable. So it says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. And you know, the Lord sees us. He sees us right where our vision is. Sometimes our vision gets marred because we're just so disappointed. We don't understand why somebody did something to us or to others, or why would they do that? Or we don't understand the dealings of the Lord. And you know, the Lord didn't leave Peter. He knew that he was really wanting to serve the Lord. And so here he was out there fishing again. And we see the Lord passes by. Doesn't he do that this morning? And you know, when Peter recognized it was the Lord, he just jumped into the sea and headed to the Lord. He was so excited and so overwhelmed. You know, this morning, I believe the Lord wants to visit us today, right where we are. Maybe we don't understand everything. You know, that's okay. The Lord wants to visit us. And so, though he was a little damaged and hurt, the Lord started talking to him after a bit. And we look down in the 14th verse of that, and it says here, this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Now, you know, Peter just didn't know where to go, I think. And, of course, he did what he could and what he loved. And the Lord comes along and says, Simon, do you love me more than this? Well, Lord, you know I do. Well, I've got something for you to do. I want you to feed my sheep. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Do you know this morning, the Lord wants us to not become disillusioned and back away from him. When he visits with us, he can clear things up and give us real clear clarity in our life if we don't run off and leave him. And so he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? You know, that was John. Only John records this. But John felt very special to the Lord, as did Peter and others. But you know, he was visiting with the Lord there. And there again, he gets his mind off of things. But you know what the Lord had in mind? And he didn't say it here that we have in writing, but Peter, I'm going to outfit you. I know you've failed in the past. I know you've had troubles. But Peter, I'm going to outfit you, and you're going to give your life just like I did. That's what he was saying by this here when he said they're going to carry you whether you would not. He was talking about his death on a cross. And we find, as history says it, the best that we have, Peter wanted to be hung upside down because he didn't feel worthy to be hung like the Lord did. But you know, Peter went out from here, and of course the day of Pentecost came, and then Peter gave his whole life to the things of God. Everything, all his disillusionment, everything that he had had, the Lord changed all of that. And I just want to encourage us today that the Lord really doesn't want to leave us in disillusionment. He doesn't want to leave us in a place where we're draggy. But Peter's life was so inspired that on the day of Pentecost, he preached. And what was there? 3,000, I believe, that was baptized? Is that not right? I believe it was 3,000 that was saved that day. And so we see that the Lord began to work in his life. And I want to encourage us today to look for that place where the Lord visits us. And look away from our fishing or from whatever it is that we have entered into in our life. I think the Lord wants to get a hold of us and do some things with us that maybe we hadn't ever thought of. You know, one more thing I want to notice about that little story. You know, when Peter went fishing, the others went with him. You know how much effect we have on one another? Folks, let's seek the Lord. Lord, visit me. If your visitations can do what they did to Peter, and if your enlivening can change this man like you did, then Lord, enliven my life too. Now, I know that we're not all Peters. We're not all going to be the same vessel that Peter was. But I will tell you, God wants to enliven our lives, every one of us. And so I would like to ask us to begin asking the Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do this morning? And make ourselves available to the Lord. I know it's easy for us. It's easier than not for us to just go to what we're comfortable to, fill our lives up with it, and enjoy it. Because many of us here are very successful in life. I know that. The saints are successful people. When they go get jobs, they go to the top. When they have businesses, they go to the top. That's the way it is with people that are responsible and honest. But you know what? This morning, the Lord wants us, I believe, to say, Lord, I want this to serve you. What would you have in my life today? I've been looking at the congregation for months, for years, and pleading with the Lord. Lord, I believe that you can give us more in the way of the moving of the Holy Spirit, in the way of callings, because we need that today. The world needs it today. And we might feel like, well, I don't have much to offer, and that's fine. I'm glad you don't, because the Lord has all of it for us this morning. So we want to look back here then at Nehemiah and look at another one, Nehemiah 2 and 1. You know, it says, it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was brought before him, and I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, Why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, Let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad? When the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire. Then the king said unto me, For what dost thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, If it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it. You know, this morning, this was a place where Nehemiah's head was hanging low too. He was in Babylon. He was in a foreign and a strange land, not able to serve the Lord at the temple like they had at one time, not able to be in Jerusalem, that beautiful city that the Lord had given them. But you know what? It says he prayed. The king asked him, Why are you sad? And I want to ask us this morning, where are we at today? Maybe we could pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what shall I answer to this? And what will you do? And so he had a little vision. He saw in his mind, I'm sad because the place that that should be God's place, it's all burned down. The walls are torn down. The everything's burned up and there isn't anything left. How could I not be sad? But you know what? The Lord began to work there in a most miraculous way. And the king gave him permission to go. And he gave him, he told him, I believe, that he would send a guard with him and all of these things. But you know, the king did that. And so we see in Nehemiah 4 and 6, when he was over there, he said, So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. You know what happened? These people, probably through Nehemiah's inspiration there, these people had a vision that there could be something there that wasn't there. And so they began. They had a mind that we're going to put these walls up. And they had enemies. Sanballat, Tobiah, I believe, was here, wasn't it? Yes, it was. And we find them mocking them. If a fox would walk upon that wall, it would fall down. And folks, when we start to move forward in anything in the Lord, I want to tell you something. Satan will surely be there to tell you that if a fox would walk along on your little wall, that it would fall over. That's how weak it is. And that if people would say what they think, they would tell you how foolish you are for leading out in prayer or for doing the work or moving forward in the way that the Lord begins to inspire you. And so if we want to do anything for the Lord, folks, we're going to have a little vision. You know what? I think God wants these walls to be brighter. I think he wants us to have a little more of his presence and rejoicing. And maybe I appreciate those that have started leading out and singing more. I want to tell you, that blesses me at service. You know, it starts with a vision. It starts with seeing that there can be more than there is. And then we begin to seek the Lord for those things. And just like this man Nehemiah, he saw a vision and the Lord made a way for it. And it began to happen. And pretty soon he had a whole group going with him. And they began to build the walls. And you know what? Before you know it, the work was progressing in a way that scared the enemy. They couldn't believe that these people actually built the wall. And so this morning I want to encourage us today. It says the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. Do you know that's when we come to full maturity? When we're teenagers, we begin to learn to bear a load, don't we? And I just want to challenge us this morning. I'm not throwing anything, and I mean that. I'm not. Because we have a wonderful thing here. And I don't know anywhere I would rather be. But folks, let's ask the Lord, Lord, give me a mind to the work. Give me an understanding and a vision of what I can do better. Help us to sharpen this place up where people love to be here. They come here and it's like, that's refreshing. That's really, these people are awesome. Their love is overwhelming. You know, that's all part of the work of the Lord, isn't it, this morning? I believe it starts with something way down in here that says, oh, I see those walls and they ought to be built. And I see that work and it ought to be raised up. And you know what? I can't help but believe the Lord. The Lord inspired that to start with, probably, but I can't help but believe the Lord heard his cries and saw that and then put it in the hearts of others to go with him. Do you know when somebody starts moving forward in the Lord? And I've seen some of you moving forward in the Lord lately, several. And I want to say how much I appreciate that movement. And I want to encourage us to move forward in the Lord. Do you know that it affects other people? If one can, you mean they did that? Well, maybe I could. You know, it works that way, doesn't it? And the work of the Lord can begin to brighten the lampshade up, clean it. The glow is brighter and stronger this morning. We have something, folks, that I believe is worthwhile. It's worth putting all of our life into. It's worth giving the best that we have, the best years that we have, and then sealing it with our blood. It's worth that this morning. And if we can get a vision of that, folks, and we become that intent on doing the will of the Lord, I want to tell you something. God's going to make a way for it. And he's going to surprise us this morning. I want to look over here at another place in Isaiah the 6th chapter and the first verse. I know many of us know where we're going here. But you look at Isaiah, and I love this call that came to him. And folks, I believe in this. It happens today. I see it being placed upon people today here. And so can we not do the same? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Do you know that Isaiah got a vision of some things? The Lord appeared to him, and the Lord wants to appear to you and me too. Children, I want to tell you something. God is very real. He's real to children. He can be very real to you as a child. Just start looking up to him and crying out to him, God in heaven, have mercy upon me. I'd like to know you. The Lord wants you to know him this morning. And you know what? Isaiah saw some things here. It says above it, now it says he saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. So he had two, two, and two. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Wouldn't you love to get a little vision of that this morning? I would like to see something like that. I've never had a vision just exactly like that. But you know, this morning, I believe the Lord wants to appear to us. I do remember one time, the Lord so, and I don't boast in this at all. For a long time, I could hardly speak of it. It was so special. But when the Lord touched me in such a way and filled me in such a way that for 3 days, his presence was so surrounding and so strong. I just want to encourage us that the Lord is very real. And he wants to envelop our life. Children, young folks, I was a young person at the time, but I wanted the Lord. And I'd heard about him and I'd started seeking him. I want to tell you, the presence of the Lord wants to surround our lives like that. And then he wants to begin to do things with us. And here was Isaiah, and he felt like he wasn't in a place for the Lord to use him. But somehow the Lord appeared to him. And you know, maybe he wants to appear to you and me too. And one cried unto another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." And when Isaiah saw that, he realized, "I'm not there." And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, "Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged." Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Do you know this little scene with Isaiah here? He met the Lord, and he submitted to the Lord, and the Lord purged his iniquity. Do you know that God wants to purge our iniquity? He changed Isaiah. And it says here, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then said I, "Here am I, send me." Isaiah became available, didn't he? He got a vision of something. Folks, the Lord wants us to get our eyes up and see the Lord. He wants us to see His glory. He wants us to behold, the Lord is a lot greater than I thought He was. I wanted to serve the Lord when I was young. As I say, and I've said many times, I made a miserable failure a lot of times, but I want to tell you something. I wanted to serve Him. And you know, He came along and revealed Himself to me and changed my life completely. And we see here that the Lord did this for Isaiah. And He met him and He changed him. And then He began to use his life. So this morning, I know we're not all going to be Isaiahs. And I'm not trying to preach that. But I believe the Lord wants to meet every one of us. And He wants this place to be more lively than it is. And He wants our voice to be more full of the Holy Spirit than it is. And He wants us to come in. I believe in Holy Spirit leadership, and I believe in it real strongly. But that's Holy Spirit leadership, folks. That's when the Lord is at the helm. When He moves on this one, and He moves on that one, and He moves, and He begins to work in a testimony, a song, a prayer. And I know we hear that on Wednesday nights so many times. I just want to encourage us tonight, to this morning, to pray to God. Lord, surprise me. Lord, visit me. If you can do this kind of thing for Peter, surely in a lot smaller way you can do something for me. If you can do this for Isaiah that said, "I'm a man of unclean lips," and you can change him like that, surely you can do something for me. But you know, it takes vision. And it takes us making ourselves available to the Lord. Isaiah said, "Well, Lord, here am I. Send me." He would have maybe never thought of such a thing before. But you know what? Can we say that today? "Lord, here am I. Use my life somehow. Don't let me come to the judgment and I've just barely made it and never done anything really outside my comfort zone. Lord, use my life. Use my life. Use my life starting right where I am. Not where I was. Not the past." Peter could have said, "Lord, I could never." Isaiah could have said, "Lord, I could never. I'm not worthy." But I want to tell you something. God wants to change who we are. And then He wants to begin to use our life after that. So I want to look at one other place at least here. Luke 9 and 57. I have found the dealings of the Lord and the work of the Lord is so precious when we get to working with the Lord that Nothing of this life compares. And once you get a taste for it, folks, it'll ruin you for everything else. It'll just ruin you for the things of this life. Luke 9 and 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. That don't sound too inspiring, does it? But I'd say the Lord had a pretty inspiring life. And he said unto one another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I know this seems like a pretty dramatic saying. I need to go bury my father, and the Lord says, Let the dead bury the dead. That seems pretty dramatic, but I will tell you something. God wanted to give us something strong enough to make us to realize, let the dead bury the dead. Let the things that must be. But go thou and do the will of God. He told this young man, or this man, go and preach the kingdom of God. What greater thing, what greater call on earth than to tell people the way to heaven, than to tell people the way to the good things that God has for them, the deliverances, the comforts, the strengths that God has. What better thing in life could we give our life to? I will tell you, I saw this and I wanted that. And I felt like it was worth my life. It was worth sacrificing the best years of my life for. And folks, I don't say that to boast. I want to just inspire us today that every one of us can say, Lord, take the best that I have. Take the best years that I've got. Take the best things that I've got. Take my talents and take my weaknesses. And Lord, would you use them? I just want to challenge us with that this morning. I know it's a short message, but do you know today, oh, how the Lord, how he loves to work with people. I was telling someone just last night, there's nothing more precious than when the Lord begins to visit with you. And you know, when you're working hand in hand with him, it's not a once in a lifetime thing. It's very regular. He has to visit us all the time. Every little bit he has to give us something else. Because we're working hand in hand with him. We're doing his work. We need his direction. We need his visits. We need his inspiration. We need his word. And the Lord wants to give that to us today. And so I trust, I hope your heart burns. Oh, some of them started walking along after the Lord was gone and the Lord come along and started talking to them on the road to Emmaus and began to talk to them and tell them about all the prophecies of the Lord. And you know, when they left, they said, did not our heart burn within us? It's very real, folks. Let's give ourselves to it. Let's get a vision in our heart and mind. Lord, my place might be little, but I want to clean the little glass on my side of the building. I want to do my part, and I want you to use me, Lord. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Y'all pray for me.